Hey there, everyone. This is entertainer and educator Jen Abels. Go ahead and put that cruise control on as you venture down the road to rediscovery with your incredible host, Aubrey. You are not going to want to miss this episode.
Our lives are laid out on a road of bumps, turns, struggles, and more. How do we respond? How do we endure adversity for learning and growth? I'm Aubrey Johnson, and we'll explore these questions and more on the road to rediscovery.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Road to Rediscovery. I'm your host, Aubrey Johnson. The Road to Rediscovery is about reflecting on life lessons to learn and grow from them, and of course, pay it forward and uplift others who are struggling through dark times. How many of you know that we here at The Road to Rediscovery, we have a YouTube channel? Yep, that's right. Each of the episodes that you hear on your favorite platform can now also be seen on YouTube upon their release every Thursday, including video shorts and solo episodes. We're really pushing for a larger YouTube presence, and we can sure use your help. The link to our channel will be in the episode show notes below. Just click the link, subscribe to the podcast, and like any videos after watching them. Again, you can find the link in the episode show notes, and let's work together to just feed that algorithm, right? And get some follows, get some views, get some likes, and more subscribers. And as always, thank you for your support. Really appreciate it. My special guest overcame weighing 320 pounds and working long hours as a real estate agent and is now a lifestyle transformation coach who works with clients to help them set goals, hit targets, and achieve their dreams. He's also the founder of Project 9 Life, an organization where he navigates clients through his life-changing and goal-attempting program. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Mr. Todd Baker to the show. Todd, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you here, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you, Aubrey, for having me on. It's an absolute pleasure.
Well, thank you. We're pleased and honored to have you as well. And Todd, to establish some foundation and context for the listener's benefit here, can you start by giving us a glimpse into what life was like for Todd back in your early real estate days? And how did it lead to overwork and overweight struggles?
Yeah, no, it was, anyone that's been in real estate, you know, you're chasing deals, you're chasing clients around, mm-hmm. You're constantly on call. And so a lot of my meals became whatever was quick and easy. Mm-hmm. I was not active, just kind of rolling through life. And one day it was a New Year's. I woke up and I was like, I gotta start losing some weight. And admittedly, my resolution that year lasted grand total of 3 days. I live in Denver. So day four, it was snowing. And I was like, oh, forget that. I'm not going today. But instead of just giving up, I started to think about why I wanted to lose weight and why was it important. And I started asking myself, like every good fifth grade English teacher teaches you, ask why at least 5 times before you get the right answer.
That's right.
So I started asking that, like why? And ultimately what it boiled down to for me was it wasn't about weight. It wasn't a number on a scale. Mm-hmm. It was about being active and not being the dad to my kids. I have a son and a daughter, and okay. I did not want to be the dad that was on the sidelines. I did not want to be the dad that, couldn't do anything. I wanted to be the dad that they came home on a Friday and said, hey, we want to go camping, and my friends are going. And instead of giving them money and saying, here, go have fun, I would just be like, load up, let's get in the truck and let's go. That's the difference, I think, between motivation and inspiration. And to this day are my inspiration. They're why I do what I do. My legacy is going to be given to them, but it's not going to be what I do. It's going to be told through the stories of people that I've helped change their lives. That's the legacy that I'm leaving behind. And so whereas the inspiration has changed because I am fit. I did lose weight, but I didn't care what the, I didn't care what the scale said. I just knew I felt better and I could do things and I was eating better and I was more active in my life and therefore their lives.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Isn't it interesting how our children can be our inspiration, you know, in a multitude of ways, right? Yeah. Just by existing, they can be our inspiration if we have the right frame of mind, the right mindset, right? Yeah. And then there are things that our children just completely amaze us with. Let's say once with all of our guidance and discipline and teaching, you know, that we give them in their formative years. And when they graduate from high school and they go out into that world and just some of the decisions that they make on their own based on the foundational guidance that we've given them, some of those decisions can be quite impressive and inspiring to us, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, I spend a lot of time like on calls and coaching calls with groups and stuff like that. And
yeah,
I spend so much time just listening to people talking about their inspiration and
yes,
talking about what they found was their true why. What's that fire that's within them that mm-hmm. isn't going to let them fail this time. And
right,
it's amazing what people kind of dwell on. It can be everything from kids to family history to, mm-hmm. you know, neighbors and friends and the life that they're leading or,
right,
you know, stuff like that. But it's, you have to find it. And the only way to find it is just once you set your goal or once you kind of get an idea of where you want to go, start asking why it's important and just yeah, keep asking that until you get to that point to where you're like, I found it.
Yeah.
And it's life changing at that point. Cause when you find it, it's always there.
Yeah. Yeah. It totally is. And asking why five times really leads you down that path to that ultimate why, right? And I love how you say the why five times, because one of the things I found out, at least in my own experience when asking myself why, you know, multiple times when it comes to any initial question, is it always leads me to an answer that is related to something intangible, yep, you know, and one of the things I heard you say, if I'm not mistaken, is there wasn't anything really tangible. I mean, except, you know, your children, they're tangible, but yeah, it's the experience, right? It's not just being on the sidelines, you know, to your point, and watching them have these experiences. It's participating and sharing the experiences with them. That is an intangible that no one can take away from you once you have that experience, right?
Yeah, we all have expiration dates, let's face it.
Yeah.
I mean, and no one, at the end of the day, no one cares like what car you drove, house you lived in, state. Exactly. It's the memories and the experiences that you create with those that you want to, be it your yes, kids, partner, family, whatever it is, mm-hmm, those memories last for generations. You know, mm, I mean,
yes,
you know, my kids at some point in their lives, they'll have kids. And I want right, my grandkids to have the same type of memories that my kids have in terms right, of, yeah, we went and did stuff all the time and we were active and grandpa at 75 was still walking around the woods and stuff like that. Cause they remember that and that imprints on them. And plus it becomes something that they take with them and then they can carry into their future as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, as a child, I remember my mother and father telling me experiences that they've had with their parents and their siblings. And, you know, as I'm growing up, we're having those experiences. And yep, like you mentioned, you know, we share the experiences we had with our parents and siblings with our children. and they'll share their experiences with their children, right? Yeah. And it carries on from generation to generation. And it's something that most, if not all people, really, really, it's an endearing memory that they have of those times with their families. And sure, it wasn't always smooth, right? But they're all together. We're all together having this experience. And it is something that, you know, that was very important to the family. You have to stand for something, right? As a family unit, you have to stand for something in things that you enjoy doing together, and not just because you have to. Like, you have to get up and make them breakfast for school. You have to make sure they did their homework. You have to drop them off at school. You have to take them to practice. No, things you want to do, the camping, you know, and being active for those experiences. Thank you for sharing that, that insight, Todd, because you're right. We all have an expiration date, and, you know, as that clock ticks, you know, there's opportunities we can have with our family to share some very amazing, experiences.
Well, even bigger picture, and I'll end on this.
Sure.
Think about it this way. Like, as an individual, if you get to that stage where you're like, I got to do something different, and you make a decision that it's going to be different, it's going to be difficult, but you're going to put the work in and you're going to change your life and the life of your kids.
Right.
Think down the road, you can change the trajectory of your entire family tree.
Wow.
By your decision.
Yeah. Yeah. Entirely. And that could mean a multitude of things, right? It could mean either A, carrying on a tradition, or B, stopping the cycle of, say, a negative tradition, or stopping a cycle of, for lack of a better term, inactivity, and start a tradition, right? Of, let's say, camping, or, you know, one thing I've always had an excitement for, but never had a chance to do, ice fishing, you know?
Yeah. I love ice fishing. I live in Denver, so I get it. You know, I can go up to the mountains and they're clear now, but I still remember those times, you know, going up with my dad, sticking my head like right in the hole, and you could see the fish swimming and being like, oh, he's going to get it.
That's amazing.
But that's a memory that he created with my brother and I.
Yes.
Just by being there and doing stuff like that. And I've done that with my kids too. And my daughter, not so much. She tends to freeze her butt off and go read a book. But
That makes sense. That makes sense. All right, Todd, I'd like to take a step back and let's talk a little bit about your transformation. Okay. We know you've come to that point of realization, regarding, you know, overworking, overeating, grabbing stuff that's just, you know, convenient and fast, because of your excessive work. You've had that moment of realization. You realize and know you need to lose weight. You've tried certain things and then kind of fell short. And then you found your true inspiration, your children, wanting to share and have those experiences, not wanting to sit on the sidelines. So as you realize all of this, okay, and start to plan to transform or execute, there are certain habits, I'm sure, that you had to really, really work pretty hard to kind of put by the wayside. That were more detrimental, I would imagine, like, let's say alcohol use, right? One of my questions when it comes to that is, one of the things that really gets me when it comes to alcohol is I don't want to say societal pressures, but the societal norm of alcohol, and how in some cases, whether it's commercials or just mainstream media, you know, it can be glamorized to some case, and those who are, you know, really earnestly trying to stop drinking, you know, have to put up with this because it's in everyday media, you know, to some degree. So my question to you is, can you share your outlook and your thoughts on this societal publication of alcohol and the mindset on this that you had at the time you were trying to quit?
Yeah, it's, I mean, and, you know, like I stopped drinking like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm very fortunate. I have a very addictive personality. Mm-hmm. So like when I was all in, but when I decided I'm done, like it was easy for me to make that transition. Now that's not for everyone. I get that. I understand that.
Right.
But I think the thing that you have to look at is if that's the thing that is causing you harm, causing your family harm, creating issues, whatever.
Yeah.
What about it draws you to it? Is it you start, you know, you go out, you have a few drinks and you become the fun person, or you become more talkative, or, you know, you, whatever it does to you. And then just go out one night and see if you still have the same amount of fun.
Right.
I'll tell you, like, I can still go out to eat, not drink. Yeah. I can go out with my friends and they'll drink and I'll have my iced tea. And I have I have more fun than I used to because I know that next morning I'm up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
That's right.
I'm getting my walk in. I'm getting my workout in. I'm, you know, getting my day started, and they're still sleeping, you know, for another 5 or 6 hours until their head clears. So you just need to figure out, like, what is the draw about that environment that brings you in? Is it, if it's peer pressure, I hate to say it, but might need to get some new friends, you know?
100%. Yeah.
You know, are you at the stage to where, you know, it's really an issue? Then get help.
Yes.
You know, there's things out there. All the tools are there for you to be able to do whatever you need to, depending on what stage you are. If it's just, I enjoy it, well, just go for one night and just go out and be like, hey, I don't feel it tonight. I'm just going to have some water, or I'll have some iced tea.
Right.
And just wake up the next morning and be like, did I have just as much fun? Did I watch the sun rise today?
Right.
Are people still on my couch and they'll be there until noon?
Yeah.
I want to have all this crap done.
Yeah.
And just do it that once.
Yeah.
You know, because honestly, like when I first kind of started on that path, like my intent was not to just quit completely. Yeah. I was just like, okay, like I can still have a drink on a holiday or a birthday or something like that. But then as those days came and passed and I wasn't drinking, I just got to a point to where I was like, I'm not missing anything.
Right.
So why am I going to, you know, add something back into my life that doesn't add to my life? Let's face it, alcohol does not add anything to our lives.
Very true. And I love how you put that, Todd, because it reminded me of a quote that I heard from James Corden, talk show host from the UK. I heard him say once that when you make the decision to drink, you know, with your friends on an evening, you know, you are borrowing time from the next day.
Yeah.
You know, and that's pretty much what it is, because you're going to have to rest it over, and it takes rest and time, rest and time. I don't care what people try to do, you know, with all of these 5 hour energies, and they drench themselves or they try to rehydrate themselves with water and everything. It's rest and time, you know? And so,
Well, and let's face it. I mean, you know, whatever, 95% of society works for someone else, works their 9 to 5.
Yep.
And so you're taking what limited time off that you're given and you're taking a quarter of your 2 days off, you're taking 25% of it. And if you're drinking both nights, like Friday and Saturday, that is half of your weekend where the sun is up and people are out enjoying their life.
That's right.
And you're on the couch.
You're on the couch. Yeah. So if there's anything, and to me, this is the beautiful irony of it, right? A few minutes ago, you said you don't want to start doing something that doesn't add something to your life. And you also said that, you know, when you would go out with some friends on a night and said you weren't feeling it, I'm just going to have water or iced tea. And you said you weren't missing anything from not drinking. The beautiful irony I just realized is, yes, you're not missing anything when you don't drink on an evening out with friends. You're missing when you drink. And what you're missing are those daylight hours the next day when you're still in bed at noon, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen more sunrises in the last 4 years than I can even count. And it's amazing time. It's quiet. You know, you've got a few people up. It's nice and cool out.
Yeah.
And you can get, I mean, usually I get so much done before like 8 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Than most people do during the entire day, just because there's no distractions.
Right.
And, you know, it's I don't care what line of work you're in or whatever. Yeah. But you've got stuff in you that's creative. It could be writing. It could be drawing. It could be music. It could be any number of different things.
Yes.
Give yourself back that time and freedom to explore those things. You know, I mean, to say, hey, you know what? I didn't drink. God, I'm up at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
It's quiet. I'm going to write. I'm going to draw. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
You've given yourself back that part of your life.
Man, that's beautiful. And another piece of irony, I guess, is a lot of us don't realize that until we're either middle-aged or in our twilight years. And to be able to grasp onto something like that at a younger age is gold, right? I mean, and everyone's different. I know not everyone who is older gets up early. I know not everyone who's young sleeps till noon, but you know, generally speaking, if I would have adapted those habits and principles, say in my 30s, I would have such a grasp of the importance of time way beyond the grasp that I think I have now in my 50s, you know? Yeah.
Well, and they, you know, they always say, like, you know, the one thing that no one can control is time.
Right.
I disagree.
Okay.
Because if you have been in the mode of drinking Friday, drinking Saturday, sleeping till whatever in the morning.
Right.
Then you stop. Did you not just create time on Saturday and Sunday in your life that you're up and active and doing stuff and exploring stuff?
That's true.
You did. Yeah. You just created more time.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. And we all only have 24 hours in a day. But given our current situation and circumstances, we're creating time for ourselves based on the schedule we've been maintaining due to good or bad habits.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And everyone, you know, everyone's got their, like you said, everyone's an individual. So you just got to figure out what works for you. Like,
it's true.
Aubrey and I can sit on here all day and talk about what worked for me, what worked for him.
Right, right.
You know, there's commonalities, there's differences, all this stuff. At the end, if we had 10 guests on here, we'd hear 10 different other types of stories and stuff like that.
Sure would.
find yep. out what works for you as an individual mm-hmm. and put the work in and make that work. That's the most important part is like,
yeah,
you are an individual.
Yeah.
And yeah. if you don't think that you are because you're including yourself in this group that does this on this night and does that, then get out of that group.
Yep.
You know, what's the yep. old saying? If you want to be a millionaire, hang out with other millionaires.
Hang out with other millionaires. Yeah.
If you want to be the person that's like, you know what, I'm not going to drink, I'm going to get up early, then go hang out with people that do that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. And that reminds me of a quote, or there was something, it was quite very simply put when I read your bio, and it made all sorts of sense. And it also was humbling. It's a statement that kind of hits you right between the eyes. And I'm going to paraphrase, and I know I'm going to get this wrong, and I'm surprised because it truly resonated, and I can't remember the exact words. And it was simply put, I think it's something about if you want to be different, do different.
Yeah. You got it almost right. If you want okay. different, yep. do different.
Got it. If you want different, do different.
Yeah, that's it. It's like if you've been doing the same thing, you're going to get the same results. So if you want yeah. different, you need to shock the system and do something different.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, I just get so jazzed up and when I hear that. And you know, being a podcaster, I listen to podcasts as well. And okay. I've heard guests on other shows, they talk about, and this is just an example, and I'm actually considering this, okay? They talk about, what's it called? I want to say cryotherapy, but it's an ice bath.
Yeah.
Or taking a plunge,
yeah.
you know, for like 3 minutes. And you talk about, or they talk about how revitalizing that is, you know? And you can have the mindset of dreading it, you know, and you know it's going to be uncomfortable, but then you think about the way you feel on the other side of it and yeah. how it helps you like start your day and carry your day and that sort of thing. So, I mean, to me, if I want to be different, do different, that's a big difference. You know, yeah. not too many people can say they take an ice plunge in the morning, every morning.
Yeah, it's, I mean, like, I've kind of gotten in the habit, similar to you, but, like, I just turn the cold water on in the shower for 5 minutes.
Nice.
And then turn it up and take my shower, and I'm off and running. But
nice.
It's just, it for me, it feels like when you hit that cold water, it's that first kind of like, oh, God.
Yeah.
That kind of feeling. But then, like, after a minute, like, you feel your body and your soul and your mind, like everything is just like, all right, we're up, and everything starts firing.
Nice.
And it's, and I'm sure you've gone through it, you know, jumping in that ice bath, you get out and it's like, mm-hmm. wow, like I'm ready. Let's do something.
Yeah. 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 I mean, you feel alive.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Sure. Yeah. So to me, that's just an example that kind of resonates in my head when I hear, if you want to be different, do different.
Yep.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So Todd, I'd love it if you can share with the listeners in bridging the gap or drawing that bridge between the life choices you've made for, to get sober and to lose weight and, you know, self-care, self-help, getting yourself in shape and for, you know, your kids and for those experiences. From that time of transformation to, you know, from a personal health perspective to a change in career, basically, from a real estate agent to a transformational coach. What caused that transition there? And then if you can start going into your organization, that would be awesome as well.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, what started it for me was like very, very, again, keep, there's two big things is I talk about. Like, one is doing different.
Right.
And two is like, keep it simple.
Yes.
Like, don't get a 47 page manual or workbook on setting goals because you're going to get lost.
Right.
Keep it simple. And so all I did was I started eating better and I just started walking. That's all I did. I just walked every single day. The amazing thing is that after about 2 months of doing that, like your mind and your body and your spirit and your everything, it starts to work differently. And all of a sudden you become more aware, you become more, you know, thoughts just start coming into your head. And so what really made the transition for me was I started to really think about, okay, I found a way that this is working for me. I found a way to get from being inactive and unhealthy to being active and I'm getting better every single day.
Yeah.
I am not the only person that's dealing with this. Like 95% of society is dealing with the, you know, the unhealthy or the whatever.
Oh, sure.
And so I started to think about how can I help those people? And so I just started kind of putting programs together. And I did both for a little while, you know, some coaching and some real estate.
Yeah.
And ultimately it came down to where can I have the biggest impact on the most people? And it boils down to coaching, you know, whereas real estate, I can help someone sell a house and buy a house or help their family situation and stuff like that. But it's this isolated incident.
Right. Right.
Whereas, you know, if I can talk to say 50 people on a coaching call, it goes way beyond those 50 people that I'm actually helping that they're having an impact on, you know, because they're going to have a partner or spouse or family or whatever. Now all of a sudden it's 200 people and if they buy in. Now all of a sudden it's 1,000 people.
Yes. And yes.
That's where I started to look at it was, you know, take money and all that stuff aside. It's like, how can I be a servant leader the best and serve the most the best? And ultimately that was the coaching that I came up with and the program that I offer. Everyone kind of looks at the name Project Nine Life and they think, oh well, there's nine steps or this or that. It has nothing to do with that. Project Nine Life came from my kids, and we were sitting around one day and thinking about like, hey, I'm going to start this company and what do we got for a name? And my son goes, well, I love baseball. My sister loves softball. How many people are on the team? I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, on defense, there's nine people. Said, okay, so Project Nine. And then there's a diamond that you'll see in all my socials and everything.
Right. There's
diamond around it that's kind of tilted off. Those are the four bases.
Ah, okay.
So it all came from them. And so
interesting.
It's not nine steps. It's actually less than nine.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with that. It's just it was basically punting to my kids and them coming up creatively with what mattered to them. And I was like, let's go. That sounds good.
Nice.
And then we just add the life because we're not designing New Year's resolutions for people.
Right. That's right.
Right. Like it's a lifestyle. And if you design your life and everything that you're doing for when you are 90 years old.
Yeah.
You will have lived so much better by doing all this stuff when you're 40, when you're 50, when you're 60. If you're doing all this stuff now, God, 90 is going to be like, you're going to be like, I got another 20 years in me. Let's go.
Right, right. Exactly. Gosh, you know, it almost reminds me of there's a study and I forget bits and pieces of it, but there's a study where in the world there's these areas called blue zones, and the blue zones are areas in the world where the where older generations are still living and thriving due to just some of the very basic concepts that we may take for granted or may opt to not do that they are doing. Things like camping, enjoying nature, right? And that sort of thing. And so the lifespans have been for much more expanded, you know, and that's incredible.
And I guarantee it boils down to two things.
Yeah.
The people in those areas, those blue zones, they're active. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the sense of community, they have found other people that are like-minded to them.
Yes.
And so they thrive off of being in that environment.
Amazing.
And their bodies and their minds forget how old you are.
Right, right. So in what you share with your clients, Todd, I'm sure you have methods and practices for sustaining the lifestyle, you know, that goes beyond the coaching for your clients. Can you give us some insights on the importance of your clients having, I don't know, like a support group or an accountability buddy, when it comes to sustaining their practices and what you've taught and coached them? What are some of the sustainable methods that comes to mind?
So basically, whenever you start something new or different, mm-hmm. the people that you know that are closest to you now are going to fall into one of three categories.
Okay.
It's either going to be cheerleaders that are going to join you. They're going to cheer you on and see you making progress and go, I need to do that too.
Yeah.
There's your cheerleaders who don't join you. Mm-hmm. They're still there for you and supporting you, but they're just not doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then unfortunately for all of us, there's that last group who's like, I don't like that you're doing this different thing. I want you to come back to what we had before.
Yeah.
And we're going to try and bring you back. And mm-hmm. sadly, at that point, you as that individual have to make a choice.
Right.
Do you entertain them and say, okay, but that, you know, I'm on this path and you're not? Or is it a friend that you don't need in your life, or someone that you don't want in your life anymore?
Right.
Because they're constantly negative about it.
Yeah.
And you'll find it. When you have the cheerleaders that are joining you, doesn't matter what their goals are, but they're doing something because you inspired them to join you because they saw you doing different and they realized that, hey, this, you're onto something.
Mm-hmm.
That's your best accountability partners. Second is going to be the people who cheer you on, but they are joining in, like they're either not there or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you just, what the thing to be careful of is the people that are want to drag you back down, and don't count on them. And that's where you got to make a decision, like, do you just kind of put them on the back burner, or do you got to basically tell them, like, look, I'm going this way and you're not. And I can't have you dragging me back to the bars or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because it makes you comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense. And that's the third kind that we have to kind of try to avoid, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and they're always going to be there. They're,
yeah.
You're always, anytime that you start making progress and you start changing the trajectory of your life, you're, for lack of a better term, you're always going to have haters.
It's
because you're putting in the work that they're not willing to.
Yes. Makes a lot of sense. And in some cases, they have a hard time looking at themselves, taking that hard look in the mirror, you know, to admit, hey, this person is going somewhere that I just can't fathom the discipline to go.
Yep.
When really, you know, it's innate in all of us. We're all capable. It's what you want to do, where you want to go, and where you don't want to go, and the things you're comfortable with versus the will and the fortitude to be uncomfortable for a while if it means a transformation on the other side.
Yeah, the best way to say it is you only grow in uncomfort. You don't grow in comfort. You grow in uncomfort.
100%. 100%. That's we have to stretch, right? We have to feel some sort of discomfort in order to realize true growth and to have it happen to us. Todd, this is awesome, man. One thing I would love for you to kind of sum up and tie this all in a nice bow, okay? If you can give one primary message, a sentence, or a key takeaway that you want the world to get from your journey and from Project 9 Life, what would it be?
You know, it's like we've already talked about, and it's, if you want different, do different.
Once
you decide that that's where you're going to do, the second step is, as you go through the process, you're going to get clarity through simplicity. Plain and simple.
Love that.
You know, if you can just take those two things, and there's obviously a lot more to the program in terms of mindset and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But just at the core of it, like, are you the type of person that, you know, you want something different and there's a gorge and you got to cross the bridge? Are you the type that crosses the bridge but leaves the bridge just so that you have that kind of fallback to be like, well, this isn't working, and go back?
Yeah.
Or are you the type that's like, you cross the bridge, you turn around and you light the thing on fire and be like, I ain't going back?
Right.
You know, it's like the old, you know, the pirates and the Spanish galleons, you know, the first thing they usually did when they got to a new land, they took the boats out and they burned them.
Yeah.
We're here. Let's go.
Yep.
There
is no return.
There is no alternative.
Right. Wow. I mean, if that's not commitment, I don't know what is, you know?
Yeah,
for sure. Wow. So Todd, how can the listeners connect with you, learn more about the great coaching that you're doing, and, you know, even engage with Project 9 Life?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm on all social media at Project 9 Life.
Okay.
If you're on LinkedIn, I think it's like Transformation Coach Todd Baker.
Okay.
Or you can go to the website. It's project9life.com. Mm-hmm. It's got a lot of different resources, a lot of different articles that I've been published in, a lot of different stuff. And most importantly, there's a little button down at the bottom that says contact us.
Yes.
If you just click contact us and send me a simple note, just put in the subject line, do different. I will get back to you and I'll start, you know, I'll get you my Calendly link and we can go through the entire process. You'll get a couple freebies out of it.
Yeah.
You know, I'll give you a mindset check. I'll give you some pre-homework to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you decide you want to move forward and actually schedule a call, it's complimentary. It's a half hour of your time that you're going to spend that we're just going to talk about, like, what you're going through, where do you want to go, how I can help you. And if we're the right fit for each other, because, you know, I mean, I think I'm a pretty great guy. I think Aubrey's a great guy. but you might not. And that's okay.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
If what we've talked about doesn't resonate with you, mm-hmm. or, you know, we had that call and it just doesn't feel right, I'm not going to stalk you. I mean,
right.
You know, it's a free call. And trust me, I learn a lot more out of those than you can imagine.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah, no, I believe it. So we're going to put the social mediums in the episode show notes. We're going to put the website up in the episode show notes, and specifically the contact us instruction for the short, simple note in the subject line, do different. You heard it here, folks. Do different in the subject line after clicking that contact us link, and Todd will call and contact you back, and you can set up a complimentary initial consultation to just learn about where you are and where you want to be. So, Todd, I appreciate all of your insight, sharing your journey, being transparent with us. Really, really appreciate your time in giving us, you know, really good nuggets of information when it comes to making choices and committing to our own personal growth. Thanks again for coming on the show, Todd.
Yeah, Aubrey, I appreciate the opportunity, and you know, thanks for having me. And it was a good time. And yeah, look forward to talking to anyone and everyone out there.
Fantastic. Yeah, and let's please keep in touch. I'd love to bring you back on the show sometime further down. Let's say, who knows, you write that book, and the
book has been written, actually.
Okay. And
it is getting forwards written, and then it'll go to edit and publish, and that'll come out.
Let's bring you back on once that's published and released, man. I mean, and you know, we can talk about some real good insights that you share in the book, and give the listeners an opportunity to, you know, to hear maybe an excerpt and have an opportunity to purchase a copy.
There you go. That's good with me, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Fantastic. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in and listening. And look, as always, we want all our listeners to know that when dealing with life struggles, you're never alone, and there's always hope. Please share this show with someone you know who needs inspiration and support. We're all roadies on this journey of life, and it sure feels good having you on the road with me. Thanks again for listening. We'll chat again soon. We really hope you enjoyed this episode of The Roads Rediscovery. We'd love to hear from you. Shoot us an email at roadsrediscoverypodcast@gmail.com and leave us any questions or comments you may have.